Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. All right. A lot of stuff happening this week, Kyle. What you got any big stories that you're itching to lead off with?
Well, the biggest one was what I saw this morning when I was just preparing. There's a new SEC rule that's going to end up changing who can invest in certain securities. And this is the one thing that I was most concerned about when we were talking about that financial services hearing.
Yes.
And it looks like that might be kind of exactly what's happening. It should only affect OTC market stocks, but it's basically going to, let me read the quote here. Companies that trade in the OTC market will be held to a stricter disclosure standard that prohibits broker-dealers from publicly quoting securities that fail to maintain current information. So that would end up pushing like the pink market. I think there's three classes of OTCs. Pink is like the lowest. It's going to end up pushing them into the unregulated gray market, it says. I wasn't familiar with the gray market term before, but sounds like that's something that retail just won't have access to. But institutions, hedge funds, all other shit will still get to trade that. And you know how I feel about anything that limits retail. I want access to all the same shit that everyone else gets access to.
What? Even if you make a mistake and lose money, Kyle?
Yeah. I don't think the government needs to be protecting us. Like, I want to be free to make my own mistakes. Because guess what? You learn shit when you make mistakes.
You know, what's interesting to me is in business classes, they call this barriers of entry.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you were thinking about it, the investment, state of the investing world as a business, then all they're doing is they're putting up barriers of entry to keep retail investors from playing the same game.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy for us. That's a move designed to keep the people who are winning the game and keep other people from playing it. I don't think that's in our best interests at all.
No. And I think you can label these things as riskier. The shit's not maintained up to date. But I think some of the stuff that we've looked at, like, they may be up to date on, like, the Canadian market, but not necessarily in the U.S. market. Is that going to delist those guys, too?
Right.
Like, I can still find the information if I know where to look. Just because it's not up to date with the SEC, and now suddenly I can't invest in it. Like, I don't know. That just pisses me off.
It's frustrating because when a company is over the counter and they manage to get listed, that's a big win for any of those investors that were buying those shares when it was over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pushing us out of a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a ton of over the counter stocks that are going to go nowhere and you'll lose some money. That's why you got to do your research and believe in the company. But there are plenty that are just fresh new companies trying to get their foothold and get moving, and then they make it, and then they get listed, and it's onward and upward. And I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be told that, oh, you're a retail investor, you don't have $1 million in licensed financial
right
qualifications, and fuck you.
Yeah, especially if you're only investing like 5,000. Like one of the sites that I was looking at where you can like sponsor video games and get like a cut of the profits. Mm-hmm. Like that sounds like a fantastic thing. But you got to be accredited in order to do that, even though like the minimum investing amount is like, you know, $10,000 blocks. Like, I've got $10,000 to go throw into a game that I firmly believe is going to be successful.
Right.
But nope, somebody's got to protect me.
Not allowed.
No bulls allowed.
No bulls allowed.
Anyway, that's my big one that I wanted to vent about. So,
well, it really seems to me like the FTC is really on a ball. I was just reading about how 7-Eleven purchased the chain of Speedway gas stations,
mm-hmm.
which really, in Tucson, they appeared about a year ago. Like, almost overnight, Speedway came in and they bought up like 30 gas stations around town.
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with them, yeah.
7-Eleven has been in the process of acquiring them.
Mm-hmm.
For months, you know, they've got to file a lot of stuff. The deal went through on Friday,
okay.
The 14th. They added 7-Eleven added 3,800 Speedway stores in 36 states, and then as soon as it finished, the FTC came out and said they have reasons to believe the transaction was unlawful.
What?
And 7-Eleven issued a statement back, said it had negotiated a settlement with FTC staffers and thought it had a deal in place to address the competitive concerns because it divested like 300 stores.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's all. I mean, they have to go through and get clearance for some of these deals to go through. So the SEC gave them clearance to go ahead with it and then came back after the fact and said, no, you can't.
As soon as it was done. Yes.
That sounds fucked up.
Yeah. Rebecca Kelly Slaughter and Commissioner Rohit Chopra both said they thought the transaction is illegal and raises significant competitive concerns in hundreds of local retail gasoline and diesel fuel markets across the country. The FTC, they said, has spent significant resources investigating this transaction, but hasn't yet come to an agreement with the parties and a majority of the commission that would fully resolve the competitive concerns. Their decision to close the deal was highly unusual and were extremely troubled by it. So,
what?
We'll see what happens, but it's just strange to me that they would say that this is anti-competitive, because 7-Eleven and Speedway are not the only gas stations in town.
No, you've got BP over where you're at. You got the QT.
Circle K, Chevron.
Fast Trip, yeah, Exxon.
Arco AMPM.
There's fucking gas stations everywhere.
Yeah, it's so crazy. There's a corner in Tucson where the Circle K across from a Circle K. You want to talk about competitive advantage.
Oh, that's nuts.
Did we get a new Twitter poll?
That'd be my question. Are people happy with people happy with the actions that the SEC has been taking? I don't know what the answers would be. Yes, they're doing a good job. They're not doing nearly enough. Fuck the SEC.
Yeah, are you satisfied with the SEC's handling of...
Are you satisfied with the SEC's handling of... Are you just happy with the job they've done so far? Are you happy with the job the SEC's done so far since Gary Gensler's taken over?
Yes, no, undecided, fuck the SEC. Yeah, worthless paid garbage.
SEC's worthless. Yes, no, too early to tell, and SEC's... Fuck the SEC. Yeah, basically. The SEC's doing nothing. SEC's a joke. There we go. SEC's a joke.
There you go. All right.
All right. That'll work.
Yeah, so, yeah, FTC's really, really on fire this week.
Man, you're fucking nailing the segues today. Didn't you have something, too, about gas?
Oh, yeah. The Colonial Pipeline that got hacked and shut down has caused some supply issues on the East Coast. People started hoarding gasoline.
Did it have any effect on the actual companies, you know, that trade? Did anybody see a boost in price that wasn't affiliated with or affected by them?
Not that I came across. Not that I came across.
It looked like EPD Enterprise Products, one of the stocks that I've held for a long time. I think it got a little bit of a boost, but it's hard to tell. They're another pipeline company, and they service most of the Southeast, I think.
I don't know if gas prices were going up because of the supply shortage, but I do know that people were panic buying gasoline,
mm-hmm.
putting it in plastic bags and like water bottles and shit, which is not safe.
I'm pretty sure I remember using gasoline to melt plastic. Kind of makes like a burnable napalm.
Yeah. Kids, if you're listening.
No.
Styrofoam.
No. I'm going to have to flag this episode with a special disclaimer.
We are not anarchists. We do not prescribe the making of napalm at home.
That was years ago. Yeah, I saw a picture on I think on Twitter of like somebody with like 10 garbage bags in the back of their SUV, like filled with gasoline. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How did that not burst?
Well, Kyle, there were two incidents of cars exploding into flames because people filled their trunk with gasoline.
Oh my god!
And not good containers. But the thing that made me really crack up was the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started panic buying gasoline. In fact, one of the accidents was in Florida. Lady filled the back of her car.
That's not shocking.
Yeah. And she had filled up the back of her car and she had stolen license plates. So the cops tried to pull her over and she ran and then wrecked her car and it exploded into a giant fireball. No sympathy for her. But the thing that's hilarious about it, Kyle, Florida's not even supplied by the Colonial Pipeline.
Right.
They get their gas from tankers. There was no shortage in Florida, but there was a shortage in Florida because everybody bought the gas and gas stations can only hold so much gas at a time. So Florida caused its own gas shortage by panicking.
Wow. I was shocked to see just how polite this ransom company, well, I mean, what are they called? The group is called DarkSide.
Yeah.
They actually issued an apology for the social disturbance that they caused. Here's the quote from their statement. We are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics. Do not need to tie us with the defined government and look for our motives. What? That doesn't make any sense. From today, we will introduce moderation and check each company that our partners want to encrypt to avoid social consequences in the future. Another thing that I was seeing too, which...
Wait, that they're partners?
Yeah, I'm sure people hire them in order to do this. It's all dark web bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah, so they apologize for causing social consequences, and now they're gonna do a little more due diligence when they're picking their targets to make sure that they don't cause problems for the normal people. It's very nice of you pirates. Right. Pirates with
what
a code.
A gentleman pirate.
The other thing I found really interesting was, I don't know if it was something I saw on Twitter or if it was an actual article. I couldn't find it this morning, looking for it again, but something saying that their customer service was like better than most companies.
Hi, this is DarkSide Hacking. You have a problem with one of our hack jobs today?
Let's see here. A little note here on their code of conduct. They will not extort hospitals, funeral homes, nonprofits. They do target large corporations and sometimes donate proceeds to charities. And apparently the charities will return the money.
Wait, so this hacking group actually has a mission statement? Like it's a fucking business? Wow.
It sounds like an actual company. Yeah, with the fucking HR department, right? And everything.
We hear DarkSide Hacking. Stand by our corporate values.
Yeah, with hold music and everything.
What a weird, weird time to be alive.
Yeah. Well, the last story that I had that I want to, it's kind of transitions a little bit, electric vehicles. Elon Musk apparently decided to suspend plans to accept cryptocurrencies as payments for his electric vehicles, but they did not sell their Bitcoin. They're still holding their Bitcoin. He used just, let's see his quote here. We are concerned about rapidly increasing use of fossil fuels for Bitcoin mining and transactions, especially coal, which has the worst emissions of any fuel, Musk said. Cryptocurrency is a good idea on many levels, and we believe it has a promising future, but this cannot come at great cost to the environment. So after he made these statements and then suspended using cryptocurrencies to pay for his, you know, Teslas, Bitcoin was down about 12%, below 50,000 again. Other digital coins followed. Ethereum, I think, lost about 14%, and Dogecoin lost about 20%. But Dogecoin might have gained it back, because I think he posted a poll about asking whether they should accept Dogecoin or not. Musk is just kind of, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, did you watch his Saturday Night Live?
I watched the skit when he called the crypto or Dogecoin a hustle, basically, when he's trying to explain. Yes. What is it?
Michael Che's like, so it's a hustle. Yeah, it's a hustle.
I actually thought that was a great, great little bit.
You know, he started that episode by saying he was the first host on Saturday Night Live to have Asperger's, or the first host to admit it.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I did not know he had Asperger's.
I'm not surprised, but yeah, I didn't know that was the case either. I did see there was some outrage at him using Asperger's, because that's not the technical definition or the name of the symptom, or goddamn it, what do you call it?
Oh Lord.
Yeah, because apparently a Nazi came up with that, so it's some other name that they want to use.
Are we saying it's a good thing to have?
No, I think they're just saying it's a bad thing to give a Nazi credit for coining a name for it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if we start calling cancer Hitler, I won't have a problem.
Probably cut
Hitler
all that
killed
too.
My mom.
Why are you laughing?
Oh, I'm not cutting that. That's gold.
I found it interesting, though, that they didn't address any, like, the impact that, like, making the Teslas have, like, between, you know, the impact of the batteries and then the electricity that's used to charge them. A lot of that comes from coal infrastructure, too.
Yeah, not everybody's got their solar panels all set up to charge their Teslas. Yeah. Tell you that right now.
And plus, aren't a lot of Bitcoin miners using solar or renewable energies to mine?
From what I understand, they're using whatever they can get. We remember when we did that call with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how the Bitcoin mining operations are setting up shop like right next to the hydroelectric dam.
Right.
And, you know, like as close to the power generation centers as possible. So I imagine it's different companies and it's next to any power source.
Yeah, probably.
Big solar farm, sure. Big wind farm, sure. Hydroelectric dam, sure. Coal plant, sure.
All right, so AMC.
Oh, God, Kyle, AMC. Wow, I got those shares put to me, and that was not enough. I needed more.
You bought just shares?
I did. I sold another put at $12.50, uh-huh. which on Friday was like I sold it on a Thursday and for $1.06.
Oh wow!
And yeah, and then so Friday comes around and of course the price is up, and I bought it back. I didn't let it expire. I bought it back for I don't know like $5.
Nice.
yeah.
Very
yeah,
nice.
And then I was like, you know, I don't know where the price is going to, because it was up and down all Friday. And I was like, I don't know where it's going to end up. So I just got to buy the shares. Like, I can't wheel this one today. So I bought two lots. I bought 100 shares. And then I was just looking at it, and I was looking at GME, and I was thinking about all the stuff that happened with the GME, and the big thing that shifted in my head that made me go buy, I bought 200 more shares on Friday was that GME has kept its value because all these retail investors are holding. They're not panic selling, and I think we're going to see the same thing with AMC.
GameStop was always a value play, and I think AMC is too. People don't believe that the stock should be worth as low as, you know, $10. They believe it's worth, you know, 20 to 30.
Right. And you were always value on GME, and I was always skeptical of it. But I am not skeptical of the value of AMC theaters. I am a movie fan myself. I prefer the movie theater experience.
Are you still skeptical of GME's value? Because I think, are you willing to say I was right?
I am willing to say that you were right. Yeah, yeah. Well, you were.
Right. I'll take it.
I'd be a fool. Not to admit you being right when you're right. Come on. Yeah, here we are. GME still at $160 a share. Ryan Cohen is doing everything that you said and thought he would be doing to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like it's well on its way.
I also noticed too, with just a quick GME mention. I did notice that the institutional ownership finally dipped below 100%.
So weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand if, like, you know, delays in reporting would keep that number could be kind of off based on just like the time frame of reporting, but it had been sitting over 100% for fucking months. So I still think there's a pretty healthy short interest out there on that company too.
Yeah.
But anyway, AMC.
Anyway, AMC. Yeah. So I think right now we are recording this on May 15th. History doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. I think AMC is rhyming with what happened with GME.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think hedge funds have tweaked and changed their algorithms and methods enough to take into account this shift that we're living through in retail investment power, and everybody's buying it and holding it. I see really good things for AMC here in the short and long term. Like,
I'm watching for the short term is I'm waiting to see it break that $14 mark. I think Trace Trades has been posting a lot about this. I mean, I followed him when he was talking about the $9 bounce, and then he said if we can close above 11.20, that, you know, 14 is the next mark after that, and it broke through 11.20 with authority. It's tested that 14 mark a couple times this last week. Hasn't broken out past it. So we really need to see it break past that before we can, you know, call victory, because it could go back and retest that $9 again if it doesn't make it up there, if it gets rejected again. But I did follow him and I bought some of the calls that he was buying. He bought $9.50 calls on 5.14 expiration. And he also bought the 10.50 calls at 5.28. I bought blocks of both of those. I sold most of the 5.14s for a small gain. I think about, let's see, I bought them at 75 cents and I sold them for an average of 120, all except for one contract. And I kept that contract in order to exercise it. And then the 5.28s, I'm holding those, waiting to see what happens early in the week if we do get that clean break past 14. If I don't see that in the next couple of days, I'll probably end up cashing those out at a really nice profit.
Yeah, he's got some fucking good stuff.
Yeah, I tried to get him on our show, but he's too big for us now, I think. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Well, I saw that there were over 100,000 options contracts that expired at 12.50 strike price that expired Friday.
There's a ton of volume on them on Friday, too, so I didn't see what the actual open interest ended up being, but I think it was a lot higher than what was actually showing up on those on Friday. But you got to remember, though, with those, most of those have already been hedged. What causes that gamma squeeze is that feedback loop when ones that are more out the money start getting closer to in the money. Then they have to start buying shares in order to hedge against having to possibly pay those out.
Yeah, and we closed 2 cents shy of the $13 mark, which...
Right.
Made me sad. I really wanted to close at like 13.02 just so even more we're in the money.
Yeah, but you got to remember too, you have an hour in aftermarket to actually to actually decide whether or not you're going to exercise them. So if it does go up in aftermarket, you still have a chance to see those happen. It did not go up in after hours. It actually fell.
No, it did not.
It's still holding well above that 11.20 resistance line, and that puts 14 in play, and 14 puts 20. I did run a poll, I think it was on Thursday, or no, it was on Friday. I ran one yesterday asking just what people thought, how high it would go.
Mm-hmm.
People are predicting anywhere between, 100 to 1,000 is the main answer. And then the second one was over 1,000. Let me get the actual results here.
I got to say, the social media sentiment, Twitter and like the Weeble comments, and now I'm doing stock twits. I don't like Reddit because there's too many trolls, but
yeah.
People are talking $100,000 a share.
I know.
And I don't think that's realistic.
I'm dubious on that, but I mean, who knows? I'll watch it and see how it does. Here's the results of that poll. Less than 100 was 13%. 100 to 1,000 was 40%. Over 1,000 was 35%. And then I threw in a NAN, or not a number, got 13%.
Okay, 13... So more than one third of the people, so 13 plus 35, 40, almost half the people believe this is going over $1,000.
Yeah.
Wow. Kyle, I don't think it will. I admit I was one of the people that clicked 100 to 1,000.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I think anything over 100 would be amazing. But, I mean, who the fuck knows? I mean, the one thing that, from what I understand, the one thing you can't predict here is just how much, once this thing starts riding, like, you know, running, how much FOMO are you going to get? Mm-hmm. How many people are going to be jumping on because it's going nuts?
What's your exit strategy with AMC?
I think everyone says you should sell on the way down just because it's easier to know that it's over. But my strategy, I think I'm looking to, I want to be able to offload a couple hundred shares to be able to pay for my investment. And then I just want to see what happens with the rest of them. I mean, I really don't know. I think I have a couple numbers that if I was to hit, I would, if I get to the point where I don't have to go to work anymore, and I got next week off, if I don't have to go back to work next, you know, the week after that, I'll be taking it.
Right. Well, I know GME, from when it first started its gamma squeeze, it was about 2 weeks before the big squeeze hit.
And remember with that one, too, that one got its legs cut out from under it. It peaked at 560, right, roughly, before mm-hmm. they shut off the buy for retail.
Yep.
That thing was... I mean, there may not have been an upper number. Who knows what that would have hit?
Do you think that they won't shut this one off? Like they're not? You think they're not going to do that again? I think they're going to do it again.
I wouldn't be surprised.
My plan, because I don't want to be on the when it's falling. That's to me is the hardest time to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sell. I want to try. You can't time these things, but
no.
Just GME had a good 2-3 days where it was just up. Over 300.
The problem is you're going to see 300, then 120, then 400, then 250. It's going to go all over the place. The only way to know that it's over is when you see like 3 days of downward trends, lower lows and lower highs.
Well, what I'm saying is when it's happening, when we're seeing it bounce around the hundreds, mm-hmm. I'm going to put my sell order in. I'm going to put it in. I'm going to try and put it around the middle of the peaks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm greedy, so I want it towards the high end. But my goal is to actually get the shares sold while it's squeezing.
Right.
I don't want to wait for it till it's over. I want to sell my shares to the hedge funds that are having to cover. I don't want to sell my shares to the FOMOs as it's falling and dying.
Yeah, you might get some pushback from the rest of the world saying that we need to hold it in order to make it happen. So the more people that start selling it early means the less likely the squeeze happens.
Well, I'm selling it in the midst of the squeeze.
Yeah.
If AMC is in the hundreds, the squeeze is on.
If we all sell in the hundreds, then there's no shot of hitting thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands.
Yeah, well, then I guess I'm a villain.
Well, that's why I think you... I mean, you got to take some off the table. You got to make sure you get paid. You got to make sure this isn't for nothing. But you don't have to sell it all right away.
I do want to keep shares because obviously if the price gets that high and I sell any, I've paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, I've paid for it. So I want to at least save a block of 100. So the plan is to sell 2/3. And then I want to, while it's spiking, I want to sell a ridiculous covered call at like, well, I bought, you know, my average cost, if you take in the options prices, is is 11.35 is my average cost. So I'm gonna sell a covered call at like $25 a share. I wanna try and pick a point that's high enough to where if they get called, I still did great.
I think that's might be your best bet. I was looking at somebody who'd been playing cover calls and cash secured puts on GameStop during the whole squeeze, and it cost him a lot to put the cash up front for, you know, the block of shares that he was tying up, but I think he made somewhere around $60,000 just selling premiums.
Yeah, I mean, if I can sell a premium a month out and then the squeeze ends, then I may, you know, all that premium is fucking huge.
I think what you do there is that once you hit a good mark, then you sell a fucking, you sell a call and buy a put.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That way in case, but you can do that on weeklies, and then, you know, if it goes higher, then, well, all it does is lock in your sell price if the call doesn't exercise. I don't know. That's something to look at, though.
Oh, no, you could straddle it.
Yeah.
You sell a put, you sell a call.
No, you sell a put. You buy a call, you sell a put. No, wait, backwards. Sorry, backwards. You sell the call to get the premium, increase your basically high end there, and then you buy the put for your shares. So that way, if it does fall and the squeeze ends, then you just bought a put at like, you know, $500. If the share price is at 100, you're selling your shares at 500 and somebody else is taking a fucking beating.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be the way to go, is just buy puts when it goes catastrophic. And then you can use that to hedge your shares.
Right? Like, it goes catastrophic, sell those calls, buy some puts.
Yeah.
Sit back, tasty profit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we went a little long there.
We did. But I want to wrap up by saying the other thing that's really good about this is the apes on social media with premium access to things like Ortex and the nicer systems have been posting screenshots of all the AMC
stuff. Ortex has been sharing
it. Ortex themselves?
Yeah, I just started following their account. Yeah, they've been amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think they got a lot of new fans. A lot of people are unsubscribing from Fintel and whatever the other one is. Yeah, and they're planning on switching over.
Well,
we missed it, but there was another little bit of news that was pretty interesting with AMC. Adam Aaron agreed to do another interview with Trey's Trades, and Trey posted, he said that on the phone call with Adam Aaron, Adam told him that they'd finished the 47 million share offering. I think this was either Thursday or Friday. No effect to the share price.
Yeah.
They raised, you know, another $400 million in capital. Adam Aaron was apparently he said that the shorts should be shitting their pants right now. That's what he told Trey.
The CEO of AMC.
Yep.
The shorts should be shitting their pants right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that I also have to say that I did sell my OGI and IDEX shares and half my Westwater to afford more AMC. I took losses. I was my plan was to hold them, but everything was lining up too good with AMC.
Yeah.
And I felt I needed to do it.
This is still a long-term play. I mean, even if the thing doesn't go off as soon as everyone thinks, because it really does look like it's lining up to be happening here soon. But even if it doesn't, I mean, this is still a value play. This is still a stock that we think should probably be in like the 20s.
This stock, yes. AMC Theaters, very still much a viable company. They make it through this pandemic. People want to go out and do shit. Everybody's tired of being at home.
It may not be a 10-year investment, but it's definitely, you know, 6 months to a year or 2 years. I think they're going to be seeing the benefits for at least a little bit going forward. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2BullsInAChinaShop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate and subscribe.